Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know, believe, and proclaim with our lives that the Lord Jesus Christ has given us three commands, and those three commands sum up the entirety of the Scriptures from the beginning to the end, and they are to love God, love others, and go. For in those three commands, as we apply them to our lives are changed, and so too the world around us can be transformed, because it is in them that we exercise the hope we have. We are transformed, and the Word of God continues, and His Word does not go out and return void, but accomplishes the work to which it has been sent. So today, we send that word out yet again in our sermon, and I pray that you will see what I'm talking about here when we talk about the scripture here in Nehemiah 4. You may turn to Nehemiah 4, but we're going to be looking at this, and I've entitled this Builders and Warriors. It's not one or the other, it's both. We are builders and warriors. This is New Testament, but it comes to us from the Old Testament because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get an amen? Amen. So when we look at this truth, when we look at this reality, we can go all the way back. And in the Old Testament, the Lord was trying to teach the people something because, again, we need to understand, God did not give us the entirety of the Bible at all at one time. Why? Because we could not handle it. How many of us who have the entirety of the Bible can handle it? That's why the scripture literally tells us in 2 Timothy to study to show thyself approved, a workman worthy of the word. Because we've got to work through it. They've been doing this for over 4,000 years now. And we're supposed to get it all right in one day? I don't think so. So we've got to go back and learn from the original builders who were also warriors and understand that that's what God calls us to be as well. From the book of Nehemiah, beginning in chapter 4, I'm going to read this up to verse number 6, and then I'm going to break it down, all right? Up to verse number 6. From Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, in the first verse, thus saith the word of the Lord. Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the burned ones?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him, and he said, "Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, it would break their stone wall down. Hear, O God, how are we despised? Return their reproach to their own heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity. Do not forget their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out before you, for they have demoralized the builders. So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Blessed be the word of our Lord. When I look at what's going on here and I understand that the governors of this time, Sanballat and Tobiah, they were governors of that area and they came against the work of the Israelites who were building the wall to the city. They weren't building the temple, they were building the wall. They were simply fortifying it once again. Why? Because it had come under attack. And the walls were in ruins, and these governors could come in and ransack the place whenever they wanted, and that's what they did often. So for them to put a wall up meant that there would be defenses against them. We find the same thing happening in our world today. How many years has the evil one been against the church, trying to tear it down, trying to make it ineffective, trying to bust down the walls of God's fortification? We know that's the truth. All we have to do is look at the church and see how far the evil has permeated the church of Jesus Christ. And we often wonder to ourselves, those of us who are truly in Christ, how can these people call themselves Christians when they hold to these truths, or these lies, as I like to call it? Because anything outside of the Word of God is not the will of God. Can I get?
Amen, brother. Preach.
But yet we find ourselves still in this battle. But the people of Israel coming against these men, these ones who literally burned in their souls against this very thing, what did they do? Did they pick up arms? Did they burn up Tesla cars and shoot into the dealerships? No. Did they light a city on fire? Did they destroy someone else's property that had nothing to do with what's going on? No. Did they pray and fall on their face and not buy their beer and all but bankrupt a company? Yes. You see, there is a way unto the Lord that we are to work. There is a way unto the Lord that we are to build. And there is a way that we are to fight. And God here is laying it all out for us. If we're going to build, it starts with what? Prayer. If we're going to fight, it starts with what? Prayer. For if the builder builds and the Lord's not in it, he builds in vain. And if we take up the cause of the battle and God's not in the battle, we will lose. We need to understand who and whose we are. And here God was laying the foundation through Nehemiah. Well, how did Nehemiah even come into this position? Through a vision and a prayer. As God laid it on his heart to go to King Xerxes. Now, he was the cupbearer to the king. And if he went into the king's presence with any downcast emotion, he could be killed immediately. Because you were not supposed to enter into the king's presence with any sense of disillusionment in any manner. You had to be of the upright. You had to present yourself as the best. And he walks in on Artaxerxes, and his face is downtrodden, it says. And Artaxerxes does not condemn him, but says, this is Pastor Rich's paraphrase. What's the matter, bud? What's going on? And Nehemiah says, my hometown is in ruin. And my people are scattered, for they're constantly under attack. And Artaxerxes, who does not want to hear anything bad happening in his kingdom, we're supposed to say, oh, great and mighty king, live forever king. That's how you're supposed to address King Xerxes. Read the history. But because he prayed, because God had moved him, God used a pagan to set up the process by which the holy city would be rebuilt, would be brought back to a place of safety. God is in the process right now of building you back up. From the way the world has tore us down. And I want you to think about this. I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, okay? Were they tearing things down in our world at that time? You better believe it, and they're still tearing it down today. All we have to do is realize that there is nothing new under the sun. Everything is as it was, and it's getting worse. Look at what's going on right now. Oh, President Trump's in there and he's going to make everything right. You know, he's going to be our savior. No, he ain't. He's a man and he's as screwed up as I am. And we all need to understand it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because as we see these things coming, this is a revolution. The builders have prayed. The warriors have prayed. And God has set things into motion. Were these people safe from what could come against them? Absolutely not. What do you mean? Let's read on. Back in verse 7. Now when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, the Ashdodites heard that the repair of the walls in Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, they were very angry. All of them conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. But we prayed to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Thus, in Judah, it was said, the strength of the burden bearers is failing. Yet there is much rubbish, and we ourselves are unable to rebuild the wall. Our enemy said they will not know or see until we come among them, kill them, and put a stop to the work. When the Jews who lived near them came and told us 10 times, they will come up against us from every place where you may turn. Then I stationed men in the lowest parts of the space, behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. And when I saw their fear, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. When our enemies heard that it was known to us that God had frustrated their plan, then all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. They came under threat day after day after day, and it was fear driven in them that they would not move. Is that not how the evil one works in our world this day? If he can get us so fearful, he can get us depressed and we won't do anything. We won't help ourselves, let alone help anybody else. How many of you have had those days where you wake up and you just want to pull the covers up over your head and shut that alarm off, not hit snooze, shut it off and forget that you ever heard it? I'll guarantee you that happens to me on Sunday mornings. But before my feet hit the floor, I look up and I say, good morning, Lord, make it one. What'd I just say? Good morning, Lord, make it one. I just declared it was a good morning. And I know I don't have the power to make that happen, so I have to rely on him. And by God, he does. It is one of the most amazing things. Our words have power. What you say and what you believe have power over you. If you believe God has the power to make it a good day and you proclaim it a good day, before any other word comes out of your mouth, you're speaking blessing. You're not speaking cursing. Stop speaking the cursing. Stop empowering the evil over you and begin to believe and do, fight the way we're supposed to fight, and therefore we can then build the way we're supposed to build. Amen. You know how hard it is for me not to ask for that? Oh. So here these men are, they're coming after the evil. It's coming after us. We don't have to engage it. It's coming after us because it knows its time is short. And the closer we get to that fullness of time, the worse it's going to get. We as the body of Christ need to understand the evil is going to attack us. It's going to come at you in your married lives. It's going to make you doubt things about other people. It's going to come at you in your friendships because you're going to hear a rumor that, oh, well, Sister So-and-so said thus and such, and it hurt my feelings. Suck it up, cupcake. Go to Sister So-and-so and find out if it was really said. And if it was, then deal with it. If it wasn't, apologize for believing the lie. We allow so much evil to go on in our lives because we're not building and fighting the way God's asked us to build and fight. I want you to realize God has given this. This is back in the time of Nehemiah. Oh my goodness. You know, this is early in who they are and what's going on and in the revelation of God. It's early. And God has said, there's nothing new under the sun. Come on. I've been showing you this from the beginning of it all. The same thing happened a lot in the town that he lived in. What? Yeah, go back and start. Remember what I said last week about the cake? There's one layer, two layers, three layers. Well, God has a multiplicity of layers. Start reading this Bible and looking at what God's really telling us and how he's showing us that there are going to be these things coming at us all the way back at the beginning. Did not Satan come at them all the way back at the beginning? And all they had to do was reach out to God, but instead they reached out for that stupid fruit, didn't they? Come on. It's the same story. Satan doesn't know any other lie. He's stupid. He's just been here a lot longer than us. And he can make it look different because he's seen how each of us react. And he knows us well. But we should know God all the better. And as we bow ourselves in prayer, and they prayed, and they prayed, and all of a sudden the fear did not stop them. They got out there and they went to work. And each one returned to his work. And the work was done. The work was completed as it went through. Now we need to understand, does that mean that you know, oh, it's always going to be good and everything's going to be fine? No, it does not. What it means is you and I, every one of us coming together, we need to start working. Okay, how many of you have rubble in your life? How many of you, you know, we look at this, our lives. Let's look at our lives. It's that wall, okay? How many of us realize we have walls in our life? There are defense mechanisms and all this stuff that we put up, right? Well, some of those walls are in bad repair because we have been under attack for quite some time. But one of the things I want us to realize is there are some things in our lives that we've put into that wall that need to disappear. And there's a reason God's allowed that wall to fall down. And there's a reason he's allowed some of those things to be burned up. Did you ever notice that it says that stones were burned up? What kind of fire was it that burnt stones up? I want you to think about that, okay? Don't think too hard right now. You'll sprain your brain. But think about that when you leave here. I want you to understand something. We got things going on here that you and I may not understand fully. For fire to burn up rocks? Okay. We need to understand God wants to burn up some things in our lives. God wants some things destroyed. Because some of these things should not be stones. And we're going to talk about those stones here a little bit later. Because God wants us to understand some of it he's making sure comes down. Because we started building and we were building the wrong way, huh? Yeah, well, give me a moment, I'll show you. And we also need to understand that when we go into battle, when these people went into battle, did they just go into battle and you know, we prayed and then they went to business? No. Did we not read that you know, hey, there were armed men and women here and what have you? Well, let's continue on and see what else it has to say to the end of this chapter, because I have a feeling God's going to speak a little bit more to us. So from verse 16, it says, from that day on, half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates. And the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were building the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand, doing the work, and the other holding a weapon. For as the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeter stood near me. I said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, the work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us. So we carried on the work with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time, I also said to the people, let each man with his servants spend the night within Jerusalem so that they may be a guard for us by night and a laborer by day. So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon even to the water. These people never left their swords by their sides. Okay? They carried their sword with them. They carried their weapons. And there were others who were just set up to do the weaponry, right? We had those with spears and bows, and they were set in certain spots. That's our spiritual warriors. You and I, as the church, we need to have spiritual warriors, people who are in prayer. Gloria Dower is one of our spiritual warriors. Would you agree with me on that? She's praying for us. She's not here with us because of her age and because of her health, but yet she is one of the most important people we have because she's praying. A praying person is one of the greatest weapons against the evil one. Now, I'm not saying she's the only one, because there are many of us here who are here in this building, and we're getting ready to build as we are yet moving out into this world. But we got to build where first? In our own lives. One of the things we need to realize, when Nehemiah was building here, he was building by families. And guess where they started? They didn't start in your community. They started in their own. And that's where God needs us to work. He needs us to be a warrior and a builder within our own junk first. Getting the rubble out and keeping the good stuff. Because the good stuff needs to go back into the wall. And the bad stuff needs to leave. That means we got to start right here. How many of us know Christians that want to do this? We all do. We all do. But as we all know, when you do this, what's going on? There's three more pointing right back at you. Jesus said, take the log out of your own eye before you deal with the splinter in your brother's. For then you'll see clearly. We all need to understand God wants it to start with us, doesn't He? And as it does, then we build into a church. And then we build into a community. And then we build into a country. And that's how the United States began. I want you to think about that. Is that not our history? Yes, it is. And God blessed these people who prayed, who came to this place to start that reality. And now here we are, and we've got millions of people who've been let in illegally, and it's inappropriate for us to call them illegals. Wrong chicken. And we all need to understand that. The evil one has an agenda, and we need to be the ones fighting it and building this place back up. The work is not finished. We have a lot of work to do. And each and every one of us needs to play our part where we are. It is not going to be easy. I'm going to tell you right now, 2025 is going to be one of the hardest years you're going to see. Please mark my words. You know I'm not prophetic. I'm more pathetic than I am prophetic. But I can all but guarantee you, we are going to see a collapse of the American dollar. Why? Because it's also going to collapse much of the other money in our world with what is going on right now. Because why do you think all this gold and silver is moving across countries right now? You do realize more gold and silver has come back into the United States than has been here in over 100 years. Please, people, start reading. Start finding out what's really going on. If you're watching CNN or MSNBC, they are not telling you anything. In fact, whatever they're telling you, you can pretty much throw it out the window and say, I don't need to hear that. You know, and that sounds pretty harsh. Hey, I'm not the only one who has said it. I mean, when the White House starts inviting these people who were considered the conspiracy theorists into the White House to do the news, that should tell you something. You know, I don't wear the shirt anymore because I don't have any conspiracy theories anymore. They've proven them all to be true. We need to understand Satan is trying to tear this thing down because he wants to keep coming in and pillaging at will. But God has said, no, rebuild the walls, but you're going to have to fight to make it happen. And that is in each and every one of our lives. But God has not left us alone. God has given us the power and the authority and the strength to do it. And I'm going to start at the most simple and basic aspect of it. He said here, when you hear the trumpet, come. In other words, when you are fighting on something, shout it out to your church. Shout it out to your friends. Let them know what is going on. Call the church to you. You're the one who has the trumpet. I can't tell what's happening to you unless you tell me what's happening to you. I need a drink of water. Because we need to understand, God here wants us to see that there has to be a line of communication. How many of us know that you can have a battle without generals and colonels and captains and sergeants and grunts? How many of us know you can't put up a building unless there are engineers, foremen, delivery people, and laborers? That's laborers. All of us. We're all in it. It's understanding this is how it works. We all have to come together playing our part wherever we are. And as we come together, we are a force to be reckoned with, for the wall was built up. And that means the wall in your life. Yeah, but I don't like to let people know what's going on with me. Why? Who told you that? Well, that means I'm a weak person. Who told you that? Did God ever say that? What was the first thing he said about men and women? It is not good for man to be alone. And how we have turned on that. Boy, oh, no, no. I'm a man. I can do this all by myself. No, you can't. Number one, you have to have a wife or you aren't going to have any kids. I've never seen a man just happen to get pregnant. For that matter, I've never seen a woman just happen to get pregnant. Something has to happen there. Except for Mary. And that's the truth. But when we understand that we have to come together, that's why God gives us a spouse. It starts there. And then we have children. I think this is how it began. And then all of a sudden there was a community. And then there was a country. It's the same since the beginning, people. So what about now? What has God said to us now? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. How many of you know where we're going? Where are we going? If we're going to Ephesians and we're talking about these things, where are we going? Ephesians chapter 6. Yep, Brother Wendell got it. He's already got his sword out. You betcha. Ephesians chapter 6. That's exactly where we're going. Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 10 through 18. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From verse 10 in Ephesians chapter 6, thus saith the word of the Lord. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with the truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, with all prayer and petition. Pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. Can I get an amen? You see, when we look at the New Testament, God took Old Testament ideas and He broke them down singularly. Remember, the New Testament is a commentary on the Old Testament, for it is the revelation of Jesus Christ in the fullness of its time. Because God was telling them about Jesus in the Old Testament, and He showed us Christ in the New. And as we come to that place of accepting this truth, we can put on this full armor every day. And guess what? It's not like David, who put on the armor of Saul and it didn't fit and it was cumbersome and he couldn't fight. When we put it on, it is a perfect fit and it weighs nothing, for the weight of it goes on the back of Jesus Christ and He bore it on the cross of Calvary. Can I get an amen? You and I can see this reality in our lives. We can experience the hope that we have. How many of you, in the midst of your time, in the midst of your trial, cried out to the name of Jesus Christ and there was a victory in it? I'm telling you right now, I am walking because of that. The day of my accident, I let go of the steering wheel. I turned the steering wheel into the right to drive us into the curb, because if I'd have glanced off, I'd have hit a van with a mother and three kids in it. I turned the wheel as hard as I could and slammed into that truck that ran out in front of me. And when it did, I just put my hands in the air and I said, Jesus, I can't stop this. Jesus stopped. And later, as I was in that vehicle, I swore I was going to die. I didn't pray for me. I prayed for my family. And I prayed for the other two who were in the accident with me. And that angel that I was praying to, and oh yes, I was praying to an angel, because she's not in any of the pictures and nobody saw this woman with a blue coat and blonde hair. I've been told that by the firefighters who were there, that I was seeing things. No. I saw someone, and when she grabbed my arm and said, it's finished, I'll guarantee you, I knew the power of the Lord, because it felt like 10,000 volts of electricity coursing through my body, and I saw white. And the bleeding in my legs was gone. When you call out to His name, He shows up. And He does the battle. Can you show me in there where it says we're supposed to fight? Everything I just read to you says what? Stand. Stand firm. Don't give way. Don't let that evil word give you a thought. You proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. You hold fast to the hope that He is, and He will deliver. My God has never failed. I can read this book and read this book and read this book. But Pastor, I prayed that my grandma would be saved, that she would, you know, her life would be all right, that she would. Folks, it is appointed unto man to die once. Once we reach a certain age, there ain't no coming back, all right? We need to understand, each and every one of us is going to go out of this place. I don't know what day that's going to be. But I know while I'm here, God has said that He will take care of me. Do I believe that? Yes, I do. God has said He'll take care of my family. Do I believe that? Good glory, I got grandkids that I can prove it with. Tell you a story? Want to hear a neat story? Down at Russell's this past weekend. It was last weekend, wasn't it, sweetie? It was last weekend. I'm laying there in bed. Okay, now this is funny. When we stay down at Russell's, now remember, we're in a 30-foot camper, okay? Two kids, four adults in a 30-foot camper. That's what they're living in, been living in. I can't wait till the house is done. They're going to have so much room, they won't know what to do. You can barely change your mind in that trailer. But they have a couch bed, pull-out bed in Lily's bedroom for Grammy and Grampy. Okay, so when we go over, that's where we sleep. Lily's got her bed at the end of the room there, and it's one of those pull-out, it's a bunk for a kid. That's all it is. It's a bunk for a kid. We're sleeping. Grandma's snoring. Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. No, I shouldn't. I'll hear about it later. Anyway, Grammy was asleep peacefully. And I'm laying there, and all of a sudden, I hear my four-year-old granddaughter just start praying. It's in the middle of the night. She had already been in bed for like a half an hour. And she just starts praying. And she went right down the list. She prayed for every person in her life. And believe me, she knows a lot of people, and it took a while for her to pray. And as she's praying for her baby brother who's coming. You know, she's praying for little Emery, who she likes to beat up all the time. You know, she's praying for Grammy and Pappy and Mommy and Daddy and everybody. And I'm laying there. This was not prompted by me. I never said a word. And I got my hands over my heart, and tears are rolling down Pappy's face. You wonder why, right? Tears are rolling down Pappy's face. And I got my hands over my heart, and I'm just saying in my spirit, God, receive her prayer. God, receive her prayer. Father, receive her prayer. This little one knows not what she's doing. Oh, Father, receive her prayer. And I mean, the tears are flowing. She gets done praying. She's not facing me. She has no idea what's going on behind her back. She's facing the wall. And she gets done praying, and she says amen. And she just lays there with her back to me. May God strike me dead if I lie. And she says, Pappy, thank you for helping me pray. How did she know what Pappy was doing, let alone what I was thinking in my heart? Folks, we have a word that tells us what's going on. And when we are moving in the Spirit knows the Spirit. Can I get an amen? We need to come together to be warriors one for another. Because when we do, then we can build. So what does God have to say to the New Testament church about building? Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because again, as I said, God is simply giving us all these things. Here's the commentary for what's going on in Nehemiah. Here's the commentary for what was going on back at the beginning, what God wanted them to see, and they had no way of knowing because they were so close to innocence that they didn't know what they were doing. But as they grew and grew and grew and got more and more intelligent, they should have understood, but they didn't. And here we are in Jesus Christ, and we're still trying to figure it out. But he has told us, but we have to dig into this word. We have to look at it and see what he says from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in the 10th verse. And you know I love these verses. I talk about them all the time. And he says to us, according to the grace of God, which is given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. And if any man's work which he has built on it remains, he will receive a reward. But if any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. God is building each and every one of us up as we build on the foundation. Did you hear what was just said there? Whether you are a born-again Christian or the most separated of pagans, there's only one foundation and everybody's building on it. How many of us have heard said, oh, but Pastor, you know, we need to build on the rock of Jesus Christ, otherwise we're building on the sand. No, I tell you, God was giving that to us as a demonstration. Because you know if you build on bad soil, the house is going to sink, it's going to fall. Well, that's exactly what he's talking about here, but he's talking about it in a different manner. Because here he is showing us the very reality of Nehemiah with the burnt stones. Remember I said I was going to talk to you about the burnt stones? All the stuff that does not last, everything that is destroyed, that's the stuff that God wants to get rid of. What is left? The gold, the silver, the precious stones. Those are the things that are left. We look at them as worldly things. We look at them as things of value. God is using worldly things to give us an idea of what he is talking about. How many times have you said thank you to someone? How many times have you prayed for someone? How many times have you done the will of God through the word of God into other people's lives? That's the precious stones. Those are the things that you are building up. Those are the things that are building the kingdom, that are transforming you, that are transforming our world. And we have got to start choosing them over the things of this world. How many people in this world run after something because it's full of money? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't give a holy hoot about money. I care about souls. I care about the people that are here, for the folks who are out there that don't know Jesus Christ, for you who are there on the internet looking into this thing and pondering, is this guy for real? Well, I'll guarantee you I ain't fake. And neither is what I'm trying to build, because I'm not building it just for me. We are a community of faith. And our community goes beyond the Heart of Christ Church, this little group. It goes out into all the world to all of those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, who have claimed his name and who are working in a local church, because that's how the church works. And as we allow God to build us up, we get built up together, and the kingdom of God is truly expanded. Folks, we don't know how much time we have left, but buddy, we need to put the armor on. I need to lock that sword in its place, and I need to get busy on me. I don't need to fight, but what I need to do is be ready to fight. That means being prayed up, okay? Y'all want to hear about how to pray up? Go over there and talk to that man right there, Carl Bolts. He'll tell you how to pray. He'll have you putting on a double barbed wire fence. What? Yeah, go talk to him. You'll find out. Because as each and every one of us put that armor on first, and then we begin to build. Where does building start? At your own door. Right here with me. And then I get to move out into my community to help my brothers and sisters. And when I hear the trumpet blast, what do? I lay down my trowel, I pick up my sword, and I run to where I hear the voice calling me. And when I get there, I stand in prayer. I stand in prayer. Isn't that what we just read? And by that, God will build his kingdom. You are the kingdom of God. You need to understand that. I want you to understand that. God has everything in store for you. He's doing this. He's showing us this because you are worth everything he has ever given in this world and into eternity. We're going to see just how much has been built. How many of you can't wait until the day? Oh man, I'm telling you right now, when we get to heaven and we see what's really been built, the spiritual things that make it through, I think we're all going to be surprised, because we have no idea what the other side is going to look like. But we're in the process of helping do that right now. And it's not built with stones, it is built with lives. For we are living stones. Can I get an amen? And as we place ourselves on that foundation of Jesus Christ, having put on the full armor of God, we are not only ready to stand and do battle, but to grow the kingdom exponentially, beginning here and then moving out. God has prepared everything for us. We simply have to turn to Him because He's God. We're not. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You and we thank You that You have truly prepared the way for us. And Lord, You prepared the way long ago, but boy, we didn't understand. And Lord, we're still a people of muddled understanding. But Lord, as Your truth is revealed to us and as we submit to that truth, I pray, Father, for each and every one here that we would hold fast to that word, that we would love You, that we would grow with You, and we would allow You to permeate us, to see that we have far more worth than we could ever hope when we hope in You. And that changes our world. So, Lord, may we be agents of change, beginning with ourselves and then moving out into the world. Father, thank You for the love of Jesus Christ. Thank You for the hope and the future that You have placed before us. May we seek You with all our heart. And may the truth of Your word come that when we seek You with all our heart, we will, or You will be found by us, declares the Lord. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.